I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First and goal, and Daniels trying to follow his block. Jaden Daniels to the end zone, and he's got a touchdown.
That was too easy. Quarterback counter, Denton. Quarterback counter. We said we didn't want to see it. Untouched into the end zone, 24-7. Early moments of the third quarter. Game over. Good morning. That was almost as impressive as Monday night. Maybe not quite as much because the opponent wasn't the same, but it was certainly a better overall team effort. The defense played its best game by far. 42-14, an absolute mauling of a team that played Buffalo close in the opener, blew out the Rams in week two, and hung with the Lions last week. Not a good team, the Cardinals, but not a team you're supposed to beat 42-14 unless you yourself are a good team. And right now, Washington is certainly on offense. And that's because they have what you have to have in the NFL to be taken seriously as a contender. A contender, I said. Did I say a contender? A quarterback. That's what they have. Look, they may not be a contender for it all as we speak, but it has become, I think, rather clear that they have the piece that you must have. They have the quarterback. What's the saying, Denton? He's him, as the kids say. He's him. Let's go with it today. Seriously, let's not worry about whether or not it's too early, too premature. We all know that, all right? We all know four games is too small a sample size. Got it. Check that box. Too early to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jaden Daniels looks like an elite NFL quarterback right now. I'm not saying he is the best quarterback in the league right now, but he looks like he might be one of the best in the league right now. He's certainly playing like one of the best. His start to his career, four games, all right, check that box, too early, has been historic. I'll get to that coming up in a moment. But because he's been so good, and because more importantly, he's led his team to three wins in a row and into sole possession of first place in the NFC East, he has literally, in this short month, given an entire franchise, and by the way, a very fractured and almost lost fan base, a jolt of confidence and hope that has been so desperately needed. Hope, remember, Red, hope's a good thing. Maybe the best of things, hoping this letter finds you doing well. That movie and that scene never gets old. Oh my God, the offense and the quarterback. We haven't seen anything like this in a long, long time. He is playing at such a high level. Not for a rookie, for anybody. I mean, who's actually playing the position better than Jaden Daniels right now? Josh Allen? I don't know, after last night. Sam Darnold? Actually, maybe. He is legitimately in the conversation for the league MVP. Not Offensive Rookie of the Year, which he's now a prohibitive favorite to win. He's in the conversation for league MVP. Odds-wise, update Denton, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Stroud, Purdy, Darnold are the only players ahead of him right now after looking at a couple of sites real quickly before the show. If you're wondering, Jim Brown in 1957 was the last and only rookie to win an NFL League MVP. We're going with it this morning, okay? We've checked the box too early. Four games, small sample size. Got it. Our eyes are not deceiving us, though. He's playing at such a high level. And this team, yesterday, on a short week, you know, following their win Monday night, an absolute thrilling win over Cincinnati, this team put on a clinic yesterday. The head coach, his staff, his coordinators, the quarterback, of course, and a lot more. And to me, and Denton understands this because he's a bettor, and those of you that bet understand this, what made this route so impressive is that you don't typically expect NFL teams on short weeks to be as sharp as Washington was, especially when you're coming off an emotional high like the one that they had on Monday night. One of the reasons Arizona was favored in the game by 3.5 is NFL odds makers understand that short rest teams typically don't perform as well when facing teams on normal rest. But man, they looked sharp. They looked super fresh. And they took the heart out of the opponent. I mean, Arizona looked done midway through the second quarter. And if there was any hope for them, that third quarter drive, three plays, and then he just kind of scoots in untouched on a quarterback counter on first and goal at the 9 to take a 24-7 lead. That was it. No chance after that. The best player in the game for the second straight week, really maybe the third straight week, was Jaden Daniels. He's four games into his career, and he was playing a former number one pick last night, or not necessarily playing him head-to-head, but Kyler Murray was the other quarterback. And to me, the difference between the two in that game last evening was so stark. Daniels is by far and away the better quarterback, the quarterback that's playing better, and the quarterback with the much bigger upside. Kyler Murray can't see over the line of scrimmage. And they had him trying to throw from the pocket. Some of that was Washington's doing. He couldn't do it. Daniels already appears to be at his best throwing from the pocket. I mean, he sat back in the pocket for much of the game and just diced and sliced and shredded Arizona's defense. 26 of 30 following 21 of 23. In his last two games, he's 47 of 53, 88.7%. I'm sure at this point, 10 in the morning, day after, you've probably seen a lot of these historic numbers. If you haven't, I'm going to give them to you. He's the first quarterback in NFL history, not rookie quarterback, the first quarterback in NFL history to go back-to-back games with a completion percentage of 85% or higher. Last week, or Monday night, 91.3% when he was 21 of 23. And then yesterday, 86.7%, 26 of 30. And then there's this. Through four games, his completion percentage is 82.1%, the highest through four games in NFL history, the highest through the first four games in NFL history. Again, not for a rookie, for any quarterback in history. Here are the quarterbacks that he eclipsed for the best four-game start to a season completion percentage-wise. His 82.1%, all-time record. Number two on the list, Peyton Manning in 2008 was 81.8% through four games. And the 2007 undefeated regular season Patriots led by Thomas Brady, he had a 79.7% completion percentage. something interesting about both of those guys that Jaden just passed and an all-time NFL start to a season. Both of those quarterbacks in those respective years won the MVP. Make no mistake that despite the opponent, and Arizona's not a big test, I'll concede that. We talked about that on Friday. I did not think it was a very good defensive team. I thought it was a team that they could run on. They did that, and then they just had their way once again. But through the first four games, Jaden Daniels' performance has been historic from the standpoint of throwing the football. You know, many were convinced, you know, by NFL pundits, by advanced, you know, companies, by other shows, that this guy was a run-first quarterback. A great athlete, a big-time playmaker, which, by the way, he is and was, but that he couldn't process, that he couldn't throw the ball over the middle of the field. That was one of the top two or three complaints. That his pressure to sack percentage, which of course meant he holds on to it too long, can't do that in the NFL. It's an absolute killer when quarterbacks do that. And that these things would be his undoing. Except that a lot of that was not necessarily relevant when taken into context. If you watched and you watched the games, and you had a feel for the games, the scores in the games, with him as a college quarterback. Jaden Daniels proved at LSU that he could process, that he could throw a football at a very high level. And he's showing that very much early in his NFL career. It's early, I know. You know? It's early. But, you know, too early, too small a sample size, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't change the factual information at hand right now. His four-game start as a quarterback in the NFL is historical. And because of it, his name is now in the MVP conversation. And his team is in the conversation of playoffs. He just makes it look so ridiculously easy. It's just so much fun to watch him. And, you know, I said this when they beat the Bengals on Monday night, you know, primarily because of his play as much as anybody else's, that the conversation was starting to change. Going into the Cincinnati game, we talked about if they win, that's a conversation changer on this season for this team. And they did win that game. And it didn't change for everybody. But if they went out to Arizona and he played another great game and they won that game and they were in sole possession of the NFC East, if Philly loses to Tampa Bay, that does that change the conversation for everybody? At this point, I don't really care if it does or doesn't, but I really would suggest that we shove all of the building block and rebuild talk to the side for at least a few weeks and talk about the fact that this team right now is the best, or certainly one of the two or three best offensive teams in the NFL. They're off to one of the great starts offensively in recent modern NFL history. And yes, there are still limitations. There are still concerns defensively, even after yesterday. But we are nearly a quarter through this season. They are in sole possession of first in their division. And they've got a quarterback who's playing at an elite level, which is number one when you're looking for teams that can get there and perhaps contend. I'll get to my game take coming up, and we'll go through all of it. And the list of things that I liked from the game is, for the third straight week, long. The list of things that I didn't like is short. But I wanted to mention this in the open so I don't forget it. I think Josh Harris needs to be acknowledged and recognized as it relates specifically to yesterday's win. I talked about how teams on short rest, especially after an emotionally draining win like the one they had, that has to travel 6 days later out west to a different, you know, the furthest time zone from where they are, that they are typically at a disadvantage. It's not that they can't win those games, they do, but it's typical for teams not to look their best. Well, Josh Harris said yes to the football people in the organization that asked if it was okay if they traveled directly from Cincinnati to Arizona and they stay out in Arizona all week so that they have more time to prepare for the Cardinals, so that the physical recovery would be a little bit easier. And there's a big expense with taking everything and setting up shop, you know, some 2,800, 3,000, 3,500 miles, whatever, you know, Phoenix is from Washington. And ownership, Josh Harris said yes. This is not something that would have happened previously. These owners are serious about football. They're serious about giving the football people autonomy and then anything they need to win. They're serious about doing what it takes to win. It doesn't guarantee anything because, like we've said before, you got to get a couple of pieces right. One of them is a quarterback, and it looks like they may have gotten it right. But the last group wasn't serious about winning. They were serious about acting like they had already won and then tried to sell that delusion to anybody gullible enough to believe it. Good job by ownership, Josh Harris. And Arizona, they don't have to do it again, all right, not this year, unless it's after the regular season and they've got to go to San Francisco maybe. But Arizona is the longest trip of the year on the regular season schedule. And of the remaining 13 regular season games, 10 of them are in the Eastern time zone. 3 are in the Central time zone. The longest trip is to Dallas. And I think we talked about this, Denton, right before the season started. Total travel by miles this year, based on all of the schedules, Washington's got the lowest total travel in the league this year. That's important. I mean, days rest is more important. Playing fewer games on short rest than your opponent is more important. They got through the first one, and they got through it impressively. This offense is incredible. This quarterback's even better. All right, my game take when we come back. We'll have Ben Standing on the show today. We will definitely open it up for calls on the show today. We'll go around the league. There were some wild ones yesterday, especially in that 1 o'clock window. And how about the Ravens last night and Derrick Henry? We'll get to that. But up next, my game take from Washington, Arizona. What I liked, what I didn't like, and a lot more. We'll be back after these words from a few of our sponsors. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now. I'm going to repeat again. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
That was Damian Woody this morning on the Greenberg Show on ESPN. It's certainly a case that can be made. I put out a poll earlier this morning. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC. Is Jaden Daniels a legit NFL MVP candidate? It would seem that you guys think he is. 83.9% say he is, with approaching 1,500 votes at this point. 16.1% say No. He is. And how long that'll last against better opponents coming up, especially better defensive teams coming up, we'll see. I mean, the Ravens are going to be a test in 2 weeks. Cleveland's defense is a lot better than any of the defenses they've faced since Tampa. Best defense they faced all year, Tampa, they did not necessarily excel. It was also his first game and the coordinator's first game together with them. I got this from Fasha. Fasha writes, Kevin, I know you and Denton loved him, but answer this honestly. Did you expect this? No. No. Not this. Nobody could have said or would have said, no. I've loved him all along, and he's going to prove it right from the beginning when he comes out and looks like the best quarterback or one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the league and has historic numbers, completion percentage-wise and otherwise, in the first four. No. No. Denton didn't either. I can answer that for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe like at some point in the season when you have back-to-back-to-back good games, sure. Not like this through the first four games of his NFL career, no.
There were a couple of things. Now, let me just say, not to break either of our arms patting ourselves on the back, but one of the reasons we were somewhat bullish about the season, I was very bullish about the season, is I expected him to play well and play well sooner rather than later. And I emphasized that all off season. Some of it was hunch, but a lot of it was, and I said this over and over again, going back to probably, you know, December of last year, I had not seen a quarterback play at the level he played at in a season ever. And that includes Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow had, not that Jaden didn't have great receivers, Joe Burrow had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on the same team. He, you know, had Malik Nabers. He had Brian Thomas Jr. He had Mason Taylor. I get it. But there was something about the season that he had, especially when you consider the defense that they had last year and what he needed to do, that I just thought was special. And I felt that when I was watching him play. So I did think there was a chance, especially given the experience that he had and the skills that were so translatable to the NFL, that he could do something sooner rather than later. And I was hopeful, but no, I didn't expect this. And remember, I think one of the big mysteries going into this season was what would it look like with Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator? We weren't sure until we started to see the real games, and he has been outstanding. All right, let's get to my game take.
Kevin's take, the good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
All right, the list of things that I liked is long. You guys can get on the phones if you want to right now, but this will probably take a little bit of time just to go through the list of things that were great, because they've literally played offensively three almost flawless games. The Giant game, of course, red zone-wise, not flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but it's really been one of the more incredible offensive runs from a drive standpoint that we've seen from any team in NFL history. So I'm going to start with just the offense overall. Yesterday, 7 for 9, meaning that they scored on 7 of their 9 drives. Wasn't perfect like it was on Monday night, or like it was the week before. 6 for 6 against the Bengals, 7 for 7 against the Giants. As we know, they didn't punt in either of those two football games. Ah, they had to punt yesterday. They had to punt. I mean, they threw an interception. It's 20 of their last 22 drives now that they've scored points. That's insane. Obviously, I'm not counting the kneel downs. I'm also not counting the last drive of the Tampa game. They were getting blown out, soft coverage. They gave it to them. All right, so it's technically 21 of 23. I'm going with actual real game context of, you know, the game not being over. 20 of 22. And here's the interesting thing about this level of production is that it's not like they're starting with great field position. Of the 20 scoring drives, out of the 22 drives they've had over the last three games. They've only started in the opponent's territory one time. That was after the Austin Eckler second half kickoff in Cincinnati. They started at the Bengals 33. To score points on 20 of 22 drives where you're not starting consistently or at least occasionally with really good field position is ridiculous. Ridiculous. 42 total points. All right, that means that they went back-to-back 38 or more. First time they've gone back-to-back 38 or more points since 1991. Remember that year? Remember what happened that year? Not everybody does, and it's too bad because it's one of the greatest teams in NFL history. But 42 points following the 38 on Monday night. 449 yards. 9 for 12 on third down. 1 for 1 on fourth down. 4 of 5 in the red zone. You know, the Giant game, 0 for 6. Oh, my God, they're terrible in the red zone. And then they were perfect on Monday night. They were 4 for 4, and they were 4 for 5 yesterday. They're 8 for their last 9. I'm sorry, 7 for their last 8. They were 3 for 3 on Monday night. 7 for their last 8 in the red zone. Washington is currently the number one third down conversion offense in the league, converting 53.5% after 9 for 12. Unfortunately, they are still dead last in third down defense. More on that coming up. The defense actually yesterday was better, the best performance of the season. But my God, the offense. I mean, it started with a running game that produced 233 yards on the ground. They are currently in the NFL third in the league in rush offense at 169.3 yards. Third in the league in rush offense. And it started early. 124 of the 233 rushing yards came in the first half when the game was still, you know, based on score, a game. 5.9 yards per carry in the first half. We talked on Friday that they were vulnerable, the Cardinals were, to the run. They got torn up by Detroit's running game last week in the first half. Detroit basically rammed it right down their throat with an excellent offensive line, you know, and Gibbs and Montgomery. Washington essentially did the same thing. The O-line right now is a really good run-blocking offensive line right now. They dominated the line of scrimmage, and they had another excellent day. More on them coming up. Jaden, of course, threw for 233. Excellent protection much of the afternoon. No sacks. Receivers, you know, they were getting open, and even when they weren't, he was putting it right on them. I mean, what do you say about this Kingsbury offense right now that, you know, people were skeptical about during the offseason and then super skeptical after the first week? I mean, it's like they are committed to running the football. They run screens. They run play action short, medium, and long throws. They take deep shots. They run bootleg throws. I think we saw more under center bootleg yesterday than we've seen all year long. I love that, by the way. I think that that is just really tough for a defense to defend if you've got that running game going and here he comes back on the QB keeper, the bootleg, the other way. You know, they throw a lot of different things. I mean, the idea that this is some sort of simplified college offense, you know, maybe it is, you know, in NFL parlance. I don't think it's that simplistic, but they are dominating and executing with what they're running. And it certainly seems like there is a lot of different things going on, certainly formationally and even in terms of how the quarterbacks are lining up. Kingsbury, I think, just had Arizona, you know, on its heels all day long, as he did last week and even the week before. It's like they're thinking run, they throw it. They're thinking pass, they run it. They're thinking it's coming this side, they go to the other side. It does seem like the checks are always the good checks. You know, from a run to a pass, from a pass to a run, from a pass to a different pass. There were shotgun snaps, there were pistol snaps, there were under center snaps. I think maybe more yesterday than before. I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked at the game. It felt that way. And here's something. You know, they were on schedule, especially in the first half. You know, how do you make things easy for an offense? Well, it helps when your third downs are third and four, third and two, third and four, third and two, third and one. Those were the first five, five for five. And then the one they didn't get, which forced the first punt since the opener, was a third and 15. And remember, you know, he's got a QB that's almost always able, even in a first down drop back or a first down play action, to avoid the big negative play. You still have to gain yards to get into favorable third down distances, and they did. And here's the other thing, too, about the Kingsbury offense right now. If you're a believer in, you know, a young quarterback needing a run game, also a defense helps, but needing a run game and needing a coordinator who is serious about running the football, how about this through four games this year? In total, 134 rushes, 106 pass attempts. They have run the ball more than they have attempted to pass it. Now, I understand of the 134 rushes, there are several in there that are scrambles, that are called passes where the quarterback runs. But still, through four games, more rushes than passes, and they have run the ball well. They are currently, as I said, the number three rush offense in the NFL. Offensively, they're a juggernaut right now. They are. There could be a reality check coming with a Cleveland defense this coming week, with a Ravens defense for sure, with teams that offensively can take advantage of some of the limitations Washington has offensively a bit more. You know, one of the more impressive numbers right now through the first four games is that, you know, Washington, as I mentioned, is right now currently in total yards, they're fifth. They're third in rush yards per game. They're number one in third down conversion. They're second in scoring. When's the last time we could say that after four games? 30.3 points per game, second in the league scoring-wise. Points per drive, 3.56, that is first in the league. Do you know why it's so high? Because they don't get a lot of opportunities. They've had the fewest number of drives of any team in the NFL. That could change tonight with two games and a couple of teams in the mix, but they've had the fewest number of opportunities. Now, part of that is because they don't give up the ball, and they just keep it. They don't punt it back. They did yesterday once. They don't turn it over. They did yesterday for the first time all season long. When you score on 20 of 22, and by the way, you're not scoring quickly. These are long drives. They aren't short field opportunities. It's remarkable that you are the second highest scoring team in the league and you've had the fewest opportunities with the football. All right, number two on the list of things that I liked. I mean, it's really number one, but you have to start with just overall offensively because it is a team effort. But Jaden Daniels has been sensational. I think my favorite stat from yesterday, my favorite thing just qualitatively in watching the game is how he performed on third down. He was 6 for 9 passing the ball on third down for 86 yards. The 6 of 9 resulted in 5 first downs and a touchdown. That was him passing the football on third down. We've seen him deliver in early portions of the game, the middle portions of the game, and then with the game on the line, like it was against New York, like it was against Cincinnati, and it never was yesterday in Arizona, but his third down numbers ensured that there wasn't any fourth quarter heroics required. 6 of 9 on third down for 86 yards, and the 9 third down attempts resulted in 5 first downs and a touchdown. 20 of 26, 233 yards, a touchdown, a pick, 47 yards rushing, and another touchdown. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through just some of my favorite Jaden plays from the game. There's a lot to like. I mean, there's really the interception was a negative because the ball, you know, it's a seam shot into cover two, and the ball was too high. It was also behind Terry. I don't mind him taking that shot. He did have a check down available. I think it was McNichols that would have gone for 10, 15 plus yards. And then he had a play very late in the game where he completely sailed one over Noah Brown's head. But, you know, in terms of like bad plays, like legitimately bad plays, you almost have to go back to the very first play of the season in Tampa when he threw that backwards lateral for minus whatever it was. Was it minus 17 yards, Denton? What was that first play in Tampa?
I think it was minus 15 yards.
Yeah, minus 15 yards. That's really the worst play of the year, and it was the first play of the year. But there were two, I mean, I'm sure after you get a chance to look at it 15 times on the All-22, we'll come up with other things that he missed. But, you know, immediately in the aftermath, that was it. Here were some of my favorite plays from the game. I'm going to start with this because it wasn't necessarily a Jaden-produced play, but it was a Jaden example of total poise, total kind of, you know, not rattled by the situation. If you go back to the opening drive of the game, they've got a third down and two on their opening drive of that game, and it's a big play because they want to stay on the field. They're down 7-0, and you don't want to punt it. It doesn't seem like they punt very much. And they substituted, as did Arizona. And what's interesting about that is that Arizona, it takes their time on the substitution. And so the play clock is dwindling, and it's getting down there. And you watch Jaden, and he's never, ever phased by this. He doesn't look over at the sideline. The referee's standing behind the center. The play clock's ticking down 7-6. The referee finally moves out of there at about 4, and he steps under center, never looks to see if they're going to call a timeout, never decides he's going to try to call a timeout. He takes an under center snap. He sees the defense stacked to one side. He pitches it to Brian Robinson. They get a seal. Bates throws a great block. He's off to the races, first down. The poise. Just totally in control, knows where the play clock is, knows the down and distance. He knows when the ref is going to step away based on how much time they're allowed to stay there once that defensive substitution comes in. I loved that poise. Other plays. His first and 10 on their second drive, it's a deep out to Terry for, I think, 11, 12 yards. He's thrown that ball a couple of times this year. It's so pretty. I mean, in timing, sometimes off that back foot. You know, he's off platform on a lot of throws. You know, he's off. You know, these aren't step into it throws. He's got such quick release and such a flick it with his wrist ability, you know, from an accuracy standpoint. There's a third and two versus the blitz on that second drive into the second quarter where he throws to Terry. Again, sort of a back off the back foot flick of it. Under center, he throws a boot to Zacchaeus. First and 10 play action. He avoids a sack on that drive. This is the drive that ends in the McNichols touchdown run to make it 14-7 and gets, you know, I don't know, it was like a 6-yard run, I think it was. I wrote down on my notes. Let's see if that's actually what it was. No, it was a 4-yard scramble. A 4-yard scramble, but he avoided a sack. How many sacks has he avoided? It's not like he's under siege, okay? Certainly wasn't yesterday. Still first half. It is their third drive, and he's under pressure a little bit, steps up into the pocket and just flips it, you know, kind of like a flick of the wrist, just, you know, with one hand to Ertz. And then he throws another perfect out throw to Noah Brown. I love how on third and long, this team doesn't seem to consider draws or screens as the best course of action. They take shots. Third and 15, he took a deep shot to Terry. Not the greatest. This was before the first punt. How about the throw to Ertz? Great pass pro at the end of the first half to ensure excellent field goal position at the end of the half to make it 17-7. Go to the third quarter and you get, you know, that deep shot to Noah Brown. If you want to put that on the list of not great throws, he overthrew Noah Brown by a lot. There was an egregious defensive pass interference. I thought it was questionable. I thought they could have picked up the flag for an uncatchable ball. But because he got grabbed so hard so early, they weren't going to speculate as to whether Noah Brown could have run under the ball. It would have been close. The QB counter on the touchdown run. You know, remember Denton when I pulled that piece of sound from Kingsbury and he said, I wish I hadn't run that play. Now, I'm not talking about the end of the game. The end of the game of the Tampa game when they were running zone read down 37-14 is still a cringeworthy moment from my standpoint. But in that game, he ran a quarterback counter, and Kingsbury described it as we ran it into the heavy side. He goes, we only want to run that into the light side. Well, if you go and look at the quarterback counter touchdown run, they ran it to the light side defensively, and they blocked it up perfectly. Noah Brown had a great block, you know, sealed the edge. Wiley, Biotish, Robinson Jr., and he is so incredibly gifted as a runner from a vision standpoint. He follows the blocks perfectly and just, you know, effortlessly runs into the end zone untouched. And then I wanted to get into a couple of the throws that were my favorites from him. There's a third and 13 on Washington's second drive of the third quarter. And again, no draw, no screen. They're going to try to make the first down. I mean, this is Mahomes-esque. I hate to say that, but it's like the Chiefs never think about checkdowns or draws or screens on third and long. They got Patrick Mahomes. You go try to get the first down. Buffalo does the same thing. Only the teams with the exceptional quarterbacks who can extend, they're the ones that say, no, we can get this first down. We can overcome second and 25, no problem. We can get third and 13. He drops back, and I'm telling you, I think he went 1-2-3 twice before he came back to Noah Brown. The protection was outstanding against a four-man rush. And he just kind of flushes a little bit out of the pocket and just throws on a rope to Noah Brown at the 49-yard line. That was a yard short, but Brown turns, lowers the shoulder, picks up the first down. The third and 15 on the when they punted in the first half, they're not sitting back thinking, let's just play field position here. They don't play field position. Maybe they will against really good teams, but they really still can't afford to play field position. They have to think about going 20 of 22 on offensive drives over a three-game period and scoring to have chances to win these games. We'll get to the defense. It was better. There's a third and eight. Not a third and eight. There's a second and six on their third drive. It's the first play of the fourth quarter. And he steps into a throw to Terry that is covered to as much as, you know, a play like that. It's a deep dig. And Terry's coming back for it. And he has to throw through a window that was super slim. And it's got to be a low throw that only Terry can get. He can't put the ball in harm's way. That's one of my favorite throws of the day. I mean, Terry makes a phenomenal catch getting the hands underneath the ball. But it's a throw that is the only throw you can make to make sure that nothing bad happens and you've got a chance to give your guy an opportunity to come up with the football. There is that under center in that drive, their third drive of that half. It's the drive that eventually ends in the McLaurin touchdown, the two-point conversion. Bootleg under center, 10-yard run. He could have thrown it to Bates, but he just took the easy 10-yard run. And, man, does he look good sliding. Last week and then again this week. Told you he slid and could slide. He did it last year in college. The forward stuff in the Tampa game actually wasn't that bad either. Didn't look as smooth, but I love the under center bootleg stuff, especially if they're running the ball. That was stretch zone fake to Robinson. He's coming back the other way. I mean, with him on the edge on a bootleg after you've had the whole defense moving in the direction of the outside zone play, I mean, this is why one of the reasons we talked about during the offseason, I'm like, I'm not sure there's an offense that wouldn't be perfect for him. He would be perfect in the Shanahan scheme. Well, that was a Shanahan QB keeper, as the Shanahans call it. They don't call it bootleg. They call it QB keeper. And you've got options, right? You've got a couple of layers of throws, or you can just keep it. I mean, that play to me, if you're running the football effectively, seems like it's a given to gain a minimum of 8 to 10 yards with him, and more if he decides to throw it. And then the throw to Luke McCaffrey on 2nd and 15 down to the 7 or 8 yard line. That is an absurd throw. He, again, a little bit off platform, facing five-man pressure, and he goes 1-2, and McCaffrey's there is 3, and the ball is out. I mean, the release is so quick. And then he does this thing. He's got this flick ability with his wrist, and it's accurate. That throw was a bit high. I mean, if you want to nitpick it, McCaffrey makes a great catch, move the chains. And then, actually, the throw to Terry McLaurin for the touchdown is, to me, actually a throw that he makes a bit late. I think that ball should have been out before Terry's even going into his break. He waited to see it and threw it, and the defense was so bad on Terry, no help, no safety recognition of Terry running that in route to the back of the end zone. And so even though I think they would coach it as the ball's got to be out a split second earlier, which it usually is with him, but on this one he wanted to see it. It was 3rd and goal at the 10, and it's not like it was a clutch situation. They were already up. It was 27-14. But he had to see that one. But still, once he saw it, it's on a rope. It's a howitzer to McLaurin for a touchdown. Really good throw to Ertz, too, on the two-point conversion. Overall, I know that I gave him an A because of the fourth quarter, especially against the Giants, an A++ against Cincinnati. This is another A+. I mean, you can't possibly give him any less than that because of the interception. Because they punted once. He's sensational right now. There's no other way to describe him. There's more on the list of things that I liked. I'll get to that after this. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Big day for the Commanders yesterday. They blow out Arizona in the desert 42-14. The team is now 3-1 to start the season for the first time since 2011. Jaden Daniels threw for 233 yards, 26 of 30 with a touchdown. He did have his first interception of his young NFL career. He also added 47 yards on 8 carries and a touchdown with his legs. Brian Robinson had another 100-yard game, 21 carries, 101 yards for B-Rob and a touchdown. Jeremy McNichols scored twice on 8 carries. Terry McLaurin caught his 2nd touchdown of the season. The Commanders sit alone atop of the NFC East. On Sunday Night Football, the Ravens shred the Bills 35-10 to improve to 2-2 and hand Buffalo its first loss of the season. Major League Baseball, the national season comes to a close with a 6-3 loss to the Phillies. They finished the year 71-91. And some unfortunate news is just confirmed and announced by the NBA PR. NBA legend Dikembe Mutombo passes away at the age of 58. He lost his battle with brain cancer. And that's what's trending.
Jaden Daniels, scanning, throwing, end zone, touchdown! Washington, McLaurin, calls it in.
I think that throw was a bit late. We gotta have something to say it wasn't perfect. It was pretty much close to perfect, but I think that throw has got to be out as Terry starts to go into his break. But still, I mean, touchdown nonetheless. From my guy, Lawrence J., and it's been a while since I've heard from Lawrence J. Kevin, you know me, I'm not into hype, but I'm back in for one reason. Jaden Daniels, best quarterback we've seen here since Joe T. In many ways, you know, this is maybe a conversation to take it back even further to number 9. But we don't have to do that right now. I continue on my game take. Let's get through the rest of the list of things that I liked, and we'll go quickly, because the offense and Jaden are 1 and 2. Brian Robinson Jr., we talked about it on Friday. I thought he had a chance to have a big game. The Cardinals in that base 3-4 had given up a lot against the Lions, and he was super effective. 21 carries, 101 yards, 55 of them in the first half. You know, he took a wildcat snap and ran with one on another occasion. And then how about McNichols? I mean, I remember this summer, it's like, you know, he's just a guy. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's just been a guy. But clearly they see something in him. I'll tell you what they see. They see really quick burst and excellent vision. So Austin Eckler's out. We think that's a problem. And Jeremy McNichols comes in and goes 8 for 68 with 2 touchdowns. On the day, and also caught a pass. A perfect compliment to Brian Robinson Jr. and Jaden Daniels. They rushed, you know, the three of them for 216 yards, 5.8 yards per carry. The offensive line was really good. Look, when you have a coordinator and you've got a quarterback, you are going to have a chance to have an offensive line that you view as pretty good, and right now it is. Now, they are excellent in the run game, and they protected exceptionally well yesterday. But a lot of it has to do on pass pro, with the ball getting out quickly, with the scheme opening up something quickly. Quick game matters, you know, a lot. That O-line has looked physical up front in the run game, and you know, remember when Dan Quinn said this summer, Denton, and I made a big deal out of it, and some people said, no, he wasn't talking about that. He said something to the effect of, you know, what some people on the outside perceive as flaws or weaknesses, we may not think of them that way inside this building. And I said, he's talking about the offensive line. Because what was the biggest perceived weakness all offseason? The O-line. It's the one he would have heard about more than any other. And you can see that they understand with a coordinator, with the quarterback they have, and oh, by the way, with changes across the offensive line, that they didn't think it was going to be a major weakness. Again, they haven't faced the Browns defense. They haven't faced Myles Garrett. Is Garrett going to play next week, Denton? They haven't faced the Baltimore defense. They haven't faced the Pittsburgh defense, which is on the schedule, the Saints defense, which is on the schedule. They've got much bigger tests upcoming down the road. On the list of things that I liked, just, you know, all of the receivers were solid. Zacchaeus was solid. He had his biggest day. I, you know, it's a shame that he got called for that 15-yarder. I actually think that one wasn't nearly as awful a call as the one on McNichols in the end zone. That was stupid. He wasn't shooting guns. It was like a quick bow and arrow thing. Terry was outstanding. He did have a drop, I believe, but McLaurin had that catch that I was talking about on that second down and 6 in the second half. He does a great job on low balls of getting the hands under, trapping it, not letting it move. Noah Brown, really outstanding on that 3rd and 13 especially. He's a deep threat. He gets separation, man. McCaffrey, just one target. Ertz, big time yesterday. So the receivers were solid in the game. Defensively, so let me go through this. We got to take another break, don't we? I want to spend a little bit of time on the defense, because I'm just going to say this as somewhat of a tease. I'm not convinced. It is still a very big concern. But it was better yesterday. We'll finish up the game take when we come back, and then at about 11:15, 11:20, we'll start taking calls. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.